Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine adversary, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Terrible things are coming. I can see them. Twisting in the shadows, darkness weaving its tail, woe, misery, spiritual songs of some kind of left field, abstract abnormality. Darkness is descending upon the entire crest of the horizon. The world is beginning to shake, to shatter, to shimmer, and to consume itself from the backside of infinity as we progress towards an open world, a theory, a thing, all of these juicy little bits of existential meaning and manner and splatter and matter, I said matter twice, my bad, and material wealth being completely inundating the infrastructure of social dichotomy. The whole thing is beginning to collapse again, once more. Society is digging itself into a deeper pit, scratching out its eyeballs, plucking out its nose hairs, thinning out the little freckles on the side face of that cute girl over there, and then it's just like, I don't know where it's going anymore. Really? Hey there, EW, how's it going?
Sorry, I was playing with the cute girl over there.
I don't think you were, because she has a knife.
I know.
Who and she likes to cut people.
Who do you think gave her the knife?
I did.
Yeah. I gave her the bigger knife. You gave her a little steak knife. I don't know what the heck you were expecting her to do with that.
I don't know what you're talking about, steak knife. I don't give anybody a steak knife. Do you know what kind of knife I give people? What's not a knife? This is a machete.
Ah.
I ain't doing no stinking little switchblade cutter-ups. I give real knives. Big knives. Actually, I don't give anybody anything. Everybody's got to get their own.
I gotcha. I'm sorry. I'm watching Jack rant about the turtle.
Yeah, I was just reading the same thing. Okay, sorry. I missed some bits there. I have to back up. Ah, there he goes. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really mixed on the turtle movie. I think it's going to be stupid. I have no interest in seeing it too strictly.
You already know I'm against it.
I know you're against it. I know there's a lot of people against it. When I told somebody today, yeah, the original premise was aliens. Oh, yeah, that's great. Because they started talking. Yeah, it was one of their best storylines. Aliens come from outer place and do this whole time travel thing. It's like, no, dude. The turtles were going to be aliens. Oh, dude, that sucks. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And
only one line that I saw in a preview.
In the commercial?
Yeah, it made me chuckle.
Don't worry. It's only a mask. See?
No, well, I liked that one, but the more recent I saw they're like, so, or she's like, so y'all are teenagers? And he says, well, now that you put it that way, that sounds bad. So, yeah, I kind of cracked up at that, but I don't think it's all going to be the typical Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that we remember from all the other movies that say are crappy now. But, hey, let me tell you what. At least they had some awesome voices to go along with them and, you know.
I think this one's aimed at people of our generation who've seen it and want to see something again.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to tell you. It's just not. If I want to see it again, I'll go put on the older movies. This new turtle.
Ice, baby. No, yeah. I'm not watching that either.
Oh, come on. He's doing macaroni and cheese commercials.
I don't care. He's a goofball. And he's always going to be a goofball. I'm not going to really talk about it. So, as I mentioned earlier in something and on the FaceSpace with the promotional marketing material, hey, spread the word, people come see the show. Tonight's show is going to be all about Sharknado 2. So, I don't know if everybody's seen this movie, but I hope you have, because I'm going to spoil alert the crap out of it.
Wait, it has turkeys in it?
No.
I couldn't watch
Actually, there were no turkeys on it. No, I think there was a turkey. His name was... Who's the main guy?
See?
Oh, and speaking of which, I need to have some information up here, and I should probably have it up, but I didn't pull it up yet, because, you know, I'm like that sometimes. So it's like, hey, I'll temporize while I'm doing this. So one thing that was really cool about Sharknado is all of the cameos.
Yes.
Holy sheep stuff, there's a bunch of cameos. I was surprised as all hell at some of these people. Billy Ray Cyrus is in it. Andy Dick. I don't know who a lot of these people are. Perez Hilton. Richard Kind. When he showed up, I was like, wait a sec, what? Judd Hirsch is in it. Kelly Osbourne's in it. Kelly Ripa's in it. Where the hell was this guy? What's the name of the guy? Fudge Buckets. I can't find his name. It's pissing me off now. Yeah, okay. So Judd Hirsch, you remember him, right?
Yeah.
TV show Taxi?
Yeah.
So guess what his role is in the movie?
Let me see. If I recall most of his more common ones, he was maybe a Jewish person praying?
Nope.
Oh.
He's a taxi driver.
Oh.
In New York.
See, I thought he was going to reprise his role of Independence Day.
No, man. All of these cameos in it were like, really? Who the hell are you? Whoa, dude. Why are you in this movie? They also had, you know, the guy who's, oh, man, Naked Cowboy or whatever, walks around in his underwear and you can kick him? Or something like this?
Oh, I don't know his name. I remember...
His name is Sam the Prophet.
Is that his name?
Benji Bronk, apparently. Oh, wait, maybe that's not him. I don't know. I just saw the name, and I was like, oh, that's funny. I was really surprised when I saw this person in the movie. Kerry Wuer.
I know that name.
Did you ever see the show Sliders?
Yeah.
She was the hot, hot chick.
Yeah, I knew that name from somewhere.
Vivica A. Fox was in it as well.
Yeah, but she ain't as good looking now as she used to be.
Doesn't matter. She was in this movie too. It's like, whoa, what happened? Now, Tiffany Shepis is in it as well, and I like her.
Yeah?
And she gets her face eaten off.
Aww.
Oh, basically, you know how I like to say everybody wants, hey, you gonna put any spoiler alerts on the in this? It's like, yeah? Okay, what's kind of spoilers? Everybody dies.
Yep.
Okay, well, pretty much in this movie, everybody dies. You see anybody, it's like, oh, look, that person's being stupid. Oh, shark. Okay. Okay, let's put it this way. The premise of the first movie was kind of funny, kind of unusual, kind of neat, kind of, wow, that's dumb. Wow, that just doesn't work. What the hell? The science doesn't work like this. Do you guys ever actually read a science book of any sort? Yeah. It's even more so. I am going to, by the way, spoiler alert the crap out of this movie. There is a scene in this movie where, for whatever reason, they've been... okay, you know how in the first... Okay, you may not know how in the first movie, the thing to get rid of the tornadoes was to throw some bombs into the tornado, creating enough heat that it's like, oh, wait, it creates the temperature differential, and then the tornado just stops.
Right.
Okay? So they try that again in this time. Hey, it's the second one. We might as well try it again because we did it the first time and it worked. Oh, hey, they're putting all these big bombs in, throwing these propane bombs into the tornado. It's like, hey, it's not working. Nothing's working. Oh, it must be too cold. But at one point, they throw the bomb into the tornado, and now they've got flaming sharks falling on everybody. It's like, what? No! And so the scene is, they're on the roof, they're trying to do all this stuff, and now they're raining sharks. They're running down the stairs, they're on the 65th floor of the tallest building in New York as a hotel or whatever. So they're running down the stairs, and the other team is running up the stairs, running away. There's water rising up with the sharks, and they're about on the 50th floor when they meet. Do you see where the science is not quite working here?
Uh-huh.
the water coming up with the sharks up the stairs, 50 freaking floors, maybe 40 floors. I don't remember what the floor number was, but something retardedly. Yeah, no, that doesn't work. Why are you guys running? Flaming sharks? Why are you guys running? Sharks swimming pool rising? It was stupid. This movie is stupid. It is so stupid you will lose intelligence points watching this movie. Okay? If Samuel Jackson, as you just mentioned there, it's about a mother trucking sharks in a tornado.
I'm tired of all these damn sharks on TV.
Yes. Oh,
I'm saying that.
Dude, I saw a commercial yesterday, the day before, for a shark octopus movie. You remember those ones, right?
Yes.
Terracuda versus shark octopus.
I saw a...
Oh my god, this looks bad!
I saw a real banner for another one that's coming up called Piranha Shark.
No, no, the one I'm talking about is also a real one. It's a real Roger Corman movie coming out.
Golly.
So, taking a pterodactyl with a barracuda, let's make a killer critter! Woo!
Someone has sunk his career.
No, that's Roger Corman, man. This is what he lives for. He lives for this weird shit. So apparently Rob Ford is in this movie, too.
Wow.
Sharknado 2. That's what I was told. I didn't really notice it, so I'm going to have to watch it again at some point. Let's see if he's listed in the... Will Wheaton's in it! Oh, crap. Now I have to watch that to find him, too. Jeebers. I don't know most of these people here, but I know that they're all guest stars and get cameos and stuff, and I know they have...
A lot of the ABC morning crew and stuff like
that. Yeah. Actually, a large portion of the ABC morning show team is in there. Al Roker's in it.
Yep.
Michael Strahan.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Ripa.
It's actually Strahan.
Strahan. I don't know. I don't watch the damn show.
He was a football player.
I don't watch football either.
That he's on, but...
Dude? Oh. Jared from Subway commercials is in it, too.
What happened to him? I gotta know.
He gets eaten!
Well, I figured that part, but how?
He's in the Subway. He's eating a Subway. He's underneath the Subway sign. And he says, you know, you should eat fresh. And he takes a bite into the Subway, and then all the sharks flash into the Subway scene. It's like, okay. And the one other thing that really did kill me about this movie, and bugged me, all the product placement. It's everywhere through this freaking movie. Okay, the reason why I'm focusing this entire show on Sharknado 2 is because I want to warn people about not watching this movie unless you're going in with the, it's going to be so stupid, it's going to be stupider.
You know what they should do is they should make a movie where people come out wearing outfits like the race car drivers do with all the sponsor patches all over them. And that's all that's the outfits for everybody in the show.
Did you ever see the movie... Crap, what the hell was it? Oh... Damn it! I like this movie, too. I'm getting old, man. I'm getting tired, I'm getting old, and I'm getting angry. I'm getting cranky. It's gonna blow, Captain! It's gonna blow! Crap, now I can't even remember. Pee-wee Herman was in it.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't help me any.
Superhero movie. The Shoveler was in it.
Oh, Mystery Man.
Mystery Man, that's it. So Captain Amazing has got all of his patches of all of his sponsors, and it's like he's a superhero being sponsored by companies.
Right.
See, I'm pulling an analogy. Moving along. So I lied about the whole show being about Sharknado 2.
Anybody else is like, thank God.
Now we're going to talk about another movie I watched this weekend.
Which one?
Divergent.
I know you watched more than one.
I know. I watched a whole ton of them. Divergent now. We're going to diverge. We're going to take a paradigm shift. We're going to move along to another thing. And what I have to say is Divergent is really kind of a mix of Equilibrium meets Harry Potter.
Oh, that is a nasty mix.
I love Equilibrium. Okay?
Good movie, yes, I admit that.
But I'm not a big fan of Harry Potter.
Right.
So this movie, great idea. It's got a really cool sci-fi element to it. Some really good visuals. But I thought it was really, really kind of on the, for lack of a better term, call it a YA concept. It is not geared for a heavy thought think crowd. It's geared more for a, oh look, pretty people with problems. And those problems are like that, and you solve them.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of a faction-based system where you're trying to eliminate the whole need for dependency on political spectrums and everything else is a neat idea, but their execution of it was really, really basic in this movie. It's kind of, oh, I don't know, it's very simplistic. It's very like, what?
I think Jack likes your description.
Of
Divergent.
What?
He said that actually sounds better than I was expecting.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's not a terrible movie. I mean, I watched the whole damn movie. It's like 2 hours, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and apparently there's two more movies coming after. Oh, by the way, one more quick thing about Sharknado. From what I read, and I don't know if this is true or not, it sounds like they're going to do a Sharknado movie now for the rest of Infinity, the week before Shark Week, because Shark Week is next week on Discovery and everything.
Oh, uh-huh.
So that's why Sharknado 2 came out last week. Yeah, it was to coincide with the release of Shark Week. And it's like, look, Sharknado 2 was the highest pirated, downloaded, no, actually it wasn't pirated, downloaded movie ever, they're saying.
Where do you download it from?
Torrents. What, the illegal torrent sites. It's like, I hate these stupid things, but they're out there.
Right.
But apparently it was a heavily downloaded movie. I mean, it was a TV show. So, I mean, it was broadcast on TV, so technically they can get away with that.
Yeah, I guess they could, because it was easy access for...
It was public broadcast.
Yeah.
Or not PBC, PBS, but whatever. I don't get into the legalities of it. It's like, whatever, it's all of them people's talking about it. But Divergent, back to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the idea, basic concept, wasn't too bad. I thought it was just very simplistic in the way that they presented this future world. It starts with a, well, we don't know what happened, but the world went through some bad things. And now we live in this world behind our really big walls, and we've got 5 different groups of people. A political party group. A group that cares about people. A group that farms. And a group of really smart people. And then we have a police force.
Hmm.
Okay. This doesn't really leave you much option for being alternative whatever. So part of the premise of the society is that you go to an age of majority, and then at that age you choose to join one of the factions. Now, you get this little test that tells you, oh yeah, you're most likely this faction. Or, ooh, it's not really normal, but it does happen about 5% of the time. You're not the faction you grew up in. You're really this faction over here. But, ooh, here's the twist for everybody. Some people are divergent. They're not really fitting into any of the factions. They're variables. Ooh!
I know which movie this is now. Yeah, okay. It really more starred the girl.
It definitely more stars the girl in this movie.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to remember exactly which one this was. Yes. I remember seeing all the previews and all the hoopla that surrounded it. And, it's really getting mixed reviews.
Well, of course it's getting mixed reviews. I mean, this is an okay movie for people who are looking for very mild entertainment. You're not going to get any real science in it. You're not going to really get any real complex story development or character progression. The ending, I think, was stupid. Because, okay, they win the military conflict, and then they take off and disappear. What?
That sounds like other movies I've seen in the past.
Exactly. Because it's like, okay, this is the setup for 2 more movies. Okay, how about letting me know that before I watch this movie and invest the time in watching it? Because then I wouldn't have watched it.
Oh, wasted at least 2+ hours of your life.
Exactly. So, I mean, it wasn't a terrible 2 hours. I mean, I have watched much worse movies. but it was okay. I wouldn't get it like right away when it comes out, because I think it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD this week or next week or something. But it's not a bad movie to watch. It's just not a good movie. It's just, kind of in the middle.
Gotcha.
I'd whatever. So, we're going to move on to another movie.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Zero Theorem. Mm. So, this is a Terry Gilliam, however you pronounce his last name, movie. He's the guy that did Time Bandits, Fifth Element, Brazil. He likes doing weird movies.
Right.
This is no exception. The main character talks about himself in the third person, which is funny. if you're familiar with Monty Python type peoples, it has a few of those in here. It's a future society. Dude face main character, I don't remember his name in the character, it doesn't really matter, is a programmer. Slash data analyst. Slash, you really don't know what his job is, but he does this thing where he combines visual images with other visual images to get a result. And he's been hired. Yeah, Jack, it's on Blu-ray. I picked it up the other day when I was waiting to go see another movie. It's like, holy crap, I've been waiting to see this movie, so I just picked it up on Blu-ray.
Huh. Yes, so, I don't know this one or the premises of it, so that's why I have to stay silent to this.
This is why I'm going to be giving you the premise.
Yeah.
Ja.
What,
so, main character dude is strange. He's basically a genius level type intellect. And the thing is management, who's only referred to as management, he doesn't have an actual name in the movie, is trying to prove what they call the zero theorem, that all of existence is basically predicated with the concept of it goes to chaos, to death, everything. So there's no point in anything. Therefore, who cares, kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dudeface, main character whose name I'm never going to remember, but it was actually quirky, if I remember correctly, is becomes a little obsessed with trying to prove the theory, because that's what his thing is. He's a very obsessive, compulsive person. He has some odd idiosyncrasies. He's more than just a little weird. If he were to be in today's standards of society, he would basically, I think, be along the lines of, say, Facebook guy, but with weirder personalities?
Wait, there's weirder than Facebook?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Dude, this guy, ooh, haha, woof, he's out there, bro. We no longer eat food with flavor. Oh, hey, you got a pizza, man? No, man, we no longer eat food with flavor. I got a bunch of oats in the back. He buys it in the bulk. Okay.
Hmm.
It's quirky. I mean, there's a lot of dedication to the small bits behind the movie, within the movie, and all the little bits leading out. There's like the guy throws a piece of pizza, I don't like this, and the rat comes out and gets it and takes it away. There's all these little things that goes throughout the whole movie, and you have to watch the movie with a lot of attention and watch this stuff. And then there's characters. As he's going through developing what he's trying to get, he's trying to prove this theorem, and he can never quite get it to work. He doesn't know why. It's driving him up the wall. He spends lots of time on this. Then they introduce this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is attractive, sexy, and he starts getting into a different think-thought pattern.
Huh.
And it's a weird movie. I don't want to give it away, because giving it away actually gives away good portions of the story. It's a very visual movie. It's very rich in. Let's see. The word is escaping me right now. I want to. There's a very specific word I want to use here, but I can't really come up with it. But it's a very rich texture of visual information. There's all kinds of things going on screen that don't really apply to the story, but are just neat to see happening there.
Gotcha.
Okay, so it's like, you know how Heavy Metal the movie, Fifth Element was?
Yeah.
So it's a very heavy-duty environment kind of movie. This has a lot of that, plus all of the stuff that Time Bandits did and all of the stuff Brazil did. Brazil introduced all of this crazy, wow, weird world thing happening. Whoa! Right? And Zero Theorem does that. Great visual movie, cool story, but you have to really pay attention to actually know what the hell's going on.
Gotcha.
Ready for the next movie?
Maybe.
Something Sinister!
Okay, not the one I was thinking. Okay, go for it.
Featuring somebody you've got coming up afterwards.
Yes.
Maria Olson.
Maria Olson, who will be live on Free Pilot Night right after this show.
See how I had that segue go for you?
Yeah, you did great there.
Yeah. So, I watched that movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm still debating what the movie was about.
Odd movie. I would think it was about something sinister.
It was something about something very sinister. But the premise of the movie is she crazy? Or is she going through a supernatural re-representation of events that occurred, will occur, are occur? Basically, there you go. Rob Ford was... No, Rob Ford wasn't in the movie. It was somebody playing Rob Ford in the movie. Damn it. Sharknado 2. I have to correct somebody. I will do this, and he will be annoyed. And damn it. That's what happens when you say facts to me and they're not true. Moving back on. Something Sinister. Interesting movie. Quirky, artistic, kind of one of these heavy, gothic, atmosphere type things. You're not really quite sure what's going on, even towards the end. It's like, ooh, did she really do that, or did he really do that, or did they do that? What?
Right.
Interesting movie. So, you know what? It's now about 9:27 my time. I think it's time for an intermezzo.
Well, we can do that.
She used to be an iron horse 20 years ago. Used to bring the mail to me through the ice and snow. I sat alone and watched her steam into the night. 90 tons of thunder lighting up the sky.
continuing on with our previous earlier theme, we're just talking about movies, because I think this whole episode's going to be about some movies. We'll talk about a couple movies. I think, you know what, we're going to go back to Sharknado 3. You know, Sharknado 3 is going to be the third movie. Do you know that the sound subtitle of the Sharknado 2 was the second one?
Really?
Okay, so it's the Sharknado 2, the second one. And they actually held a contest for the name.
Hmm.
And that's the name they came up with.
Okay, so I guess we know what they're calling the third one.
The next one. I'm going to guess. Go out on a limb. So there is one other movie I wanted to talk about.
Uh-huh.
It includes some furry mammals, some plant life, possibility of some extracurricular activities for a few individuals. It's got some really good music. And no naked people in the whole movie. Wait, no. I think there was a naked person in the movie.
I was going to say, wasn't there one?
Yeah, there was. There was one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah, there was one. I think. I'm not sure.
Well, they didn't show, like, a great deal, but...
Nah, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Didn't really mean to be... Wasn't part of the thing. Did you know... Actually, I'm going to go ahead. So, Guardians of the Galaxy. I am going to safely say, best freaking gosh darn Marvel movie ever. It is ranking for me. I keep going back and forth from Avengers to this, back and forth, saying, best movie. No, this is best movie. No, this is best movie. Oh, no, this is best movie. Ah!
Well, I'm kind of going to have to say that I loved Avengers. There was a lot of good comedy bits in there, but... Guardians, I think, kind of outdid Avengers.
Guardians, to me, is the perfect movie because the beginning, middle, end thing, it's perfect. It's got all of the components needed to understand the movie in the movie. You don't need to know anything else about Marvel hero movies, about any of the comic book stuff.
Now, there's one character that...
Doesn't matter. You don't need to know who he is in order to be able to understand what his role is in the movie.
No, you did not understand his role. I mean, you understood his role up to a certain point.
The Collector?
No, Michael Rooker's character.
You don't have a clue what Michael Rooker's character is outside of this movie.
I mean, you don't have a clue what... I mean, you know what he's...
As soon as they said his name, I knew who he was.
Yeah, but they didn't... You know, I mean... I know who he was, I know who the character is, but if you're not, I mean, like you're saying, if somebody's coming in who has never known anything about Guardians, they're going to be, well, what is he doing? How is this possible? And they only show him using that thing to actually attack
Twice.
Well, when was the second time?
They show him threatening to use it the one time.
Mean, but never using.
Didn't use it, and then he actually does use it, and then he uses it to great effect. In the Oh, by the way, everybody who's going to listen to this show and listen to it live in the chat room, I'm going to spoiler this movie. You can't listen to this show and not hear me say something that is going to ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen this movie, you might as well just turn it off now and listen to it after you've watched the movie.
Very, very much suggest.
Okay, I'm just telling y'all. That's how you're going to have to deal with this. Because I'm going to yap about this movie. Because I love this freaking movie.
I really was impressed with it.
To get back with what I was trying to say there. You don't need to know who these people are. You don't need to know what this world universe is. You don't need to necessarily know the components of all of these things. All of that stuff is given to you in the movie. Okay, so there's bits and pieces like, why does this guy have this giant hammer? What's this? And who's that? Okay, well those are questions that you would be... fine asking, but if you're going to just watch the movie and just enjoy the movie, they don't care. It doesn't matter. The whole flying arrow. Did you read Guardians of the Galaxies before?
Oh, yeah.
James F., we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, just so you know. And hey, James, which James is this?
This is our tech guy.
This is our tech guy. Okay, that James, because I have another friend, James, who listens to the show all the time and pops in every once in a while.
Ah.
I lost a train of thought. I got to tell you, I did not realize until after I looked at the IMDb credits who Nebula was.
Really?
She's Amy from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
You know, well, don't you remember me mentioning that once before, and you're just like, yeah, yeah.
Dude.
She actually shaved her head for that role.
Well, she would have had to play that character way that Dwight she did. She was awesome. I mean,
yeah.
Nebula is, okay, I'm going to say this, and this is the one testament that you can all take as far as what this movie is about and why I think this is such a great movie. I am a big fan of the comic books. I collected the comic books. I have every issue of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I probably have every crossover appearance of the Guardians of the Galaxy as well. Wow. And I'm talking both the original Guardians of the Galaxy and the newer Guardians of the Galaxy series, which is, they're completely different. However, everything in this movie is not the comic book. There is not a single thing in the movie that I can pinpoint and say that is right like the comic book. Everything has changed. Everything is different. Everything is... they've switched something about it. They've either made visually it's something different, intellectually it's something different, technically it's something different, etc. But the thing is, the key thing is, and that usually drives me up the wall, I get over it as soon as I'm in the movie. As soon as you're immersed in the beginning of the movie, you get that whole heart-rending scene about him and his mother, and that whole image scene going on, and him running away and crying and all that other stuff. It just gets you right in the movie, and there is no coming out of that until you try and analyze it afterwards. I'm one of these guys, I watch a movie, and as soon as you pull me out of the movie, that's it. I'm done for the movie. I can now start picking and choosing and nitpicking every single thing throughout the movie afterwards. I did not do that with this movie.
No, there was not a point of... I don't even think there was really a down point in any point, any part of the movie, because you know, if you watch a movie and they kind of start to go slow and you just let, you could drift off and your mind wanders elsewhere. They didn't allow that to happen whatsoever.
There were little bits of, oh, it's a sad moment, downtime, but it doesn't stay there. It's part of the story. It's actually well woven. Part of the story that brings you and keeps you saying, I want to know what happened next to these people. What?
Mm-hmm.
What? And speaking of Michael Rooker, when you talked about Yondu, now, I don't know if you're familiar with Yondu, but Yondu did not have a mohawk.
Yeah, I was going
to ask. Not a little mohawk thing. Yondu had this big, flowing, heavy-duty mane of hair thing that flies up. And, on top of that, he's a good guy in the comic books. In the movie, he's part of a freebooting mercenary crew.
See, but that doesn't mean he's not a good guy because...
Well, he's not a good guy. He's a greedy, selfish bastard.
Yeah, but...
In the movie.
The one thing they revealed at the end, which kind of...
Where he giggled with that? Dude, I think he just appreciated a good joke. That's what that was.
The reason they originally picked him up.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. You know that they were on a commission to pick him up.
Yes.
Okay, are you familiar with the Guardians of the Galaxy Star-Lord's story?
It's been a while, so I'm...
No, this Star-Lord is not the same as the classic Star-Lord.
See, that's what I was thinking. I was okay. That's why
the
I
whole Guardians team is not the same as the original Guardians team.
Nowhere close.
Not even... Yondu is in the original Guardians team. He's not in the new team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, the original Guardians of the Galaxy is set in the year 3000, way the hell up in the far, far, far future. Who knows what the hell's going on, kind of thing.
Exactly. Right?
The current Guardians of the Galaxy comic books is actually set in the modern universe, but in outer space.
Well, and this what I want to know is this film took place definitely not on Earth.
Nope. But it would be taking basically... essentially, I'll keep throwing more Y's at end with L-Y, this movie takes place now.
Okay, see, that's the timeline I didn't quite grasp, but,
yep.
You know, I mean, still, it was...
Well, think about it. What was the date-time period of all the music that was played in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
The early 70s.
70s, 80s.
Well, yeah, early 70s, stick with that. So that's when his mom... is in the hospital, and that's when they have this whole thing, segue, and he runs away, and they, Michael Rooker and crew, the Ravagers, kidnap him. And they raise him. And they bring him into the freebooting loistoil of pirates, in space. Right? The other thing that I thought was beautifully well done in this movie is the music, the choices of the music, the positioning of the music, and the way that they use the music is a part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. It is so well integrated to the story and to the actual movie itself. It's freaking awesome. I wish more movies would do this. One of my favorite songs is Cherry Bomb.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one when that came out.
Dude, as soon as that song starts playing, it's like her with the red hair, and it's like, oh, God, look at her ass. It's perfect. And that one bit where he's, in the beginning, where Quill is just sort of dancing along with the rats and kicking them all out and picking them up and throwing them all over him, doing his little shimmy dance.
Yep.
The hell? That's awesome. I giggled my ass off with that.
The part that had me rolling was when he started dancing, and the dude's like, what are you doing? Come on, do it with
dude,
me.
Dude. No, Ronan. What are you doing? Dude, it's a dance-off. Yeah, what you were just saying there.
Yeah.
That was awesome! I did the expression on Ronan's face is, what are you doing? Like, I have the power to kill everything on this planet. What are you doing? You're just... what is this gyration thing you're doing? What do you speak? What, dude, it's called distraction. That is freaking awesome. I love the way that everybody in this movie delivered their dialogue. Dave Bautista, he was not a guy I figured was going to... He looks enough like Drax, like, okay, I can buy the look. I expected him to sound like a complete nuts. I did not expect him to actually take that role and be that role.
You know, he actually had to take acting classes because, you know, the most acting he knows is in the ring.
Yeah, in the ring.
Yeah. So taking it outside of the ring and really putting on a performance, he literally put himself through the rigor to fill that role.
Dude. And
I think he did a great job.
He nails that character the way that they've positioned him in this movie. The whole, why would I want to rub my finger across my throat? These little moments and lines is like, and then the whore, why we're gonna, and the other girl shows up, nobody talks about my friends like that. The whole delivery, every single component of everything that he said is like, okay, well now you're just being some kind of weird, I'm a did, but it's perfect. It's perfect for how this character is being woven through the story. I mean, I can't gush enough about most of this movie. Because I think everybody in this movie was perfectly integrated with what their characters that they were portraying. Like I said, there are a lot of deviations from the comic books, and it's like, I'm sad. But they did a really good job with it.
Well, didn't they take the Avengers the same way? They just really totally went away from the comic books.
The Avengers movie is actually based on Ultimate Avengers, which is a slight deviation from mainline Avengers.
Right.
But the movie is very true to Ultimate Avengers.
See, now I'm curious, though, and I have read that Marvel does plan on making them join forces eventually like they were supposed to, but I'm curious how it's
actually... Making them join? Which join?
Avengers and Guardians.
Nope, that's a rumor, not a confirmation.
Okay, then I read... Well, no, I don't know.
I read several rumors online that said, yes, there's a rumor that they're going to integrate the two, but it's going to be a little far away.
Yeah, that's going to be farther down the line.
Yeah, it's not going to be the kind of thing. There are other group interactions. I'm looking forward to an Inhumans movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Inhumans, Black Bolt, Medusa, Karnak, Trigon, these are characters I love and grew up with, and I absolutely want to see them in a movie. And the Guardians of the Galaxy interacting with the Kree... Okay, the Kree made the Inhumans. That's what happened. That's why they were on the Earth. Mm-hmm. So the thing about Quill's backstory, why did they kidnap him? Well, in the comic books, what happens is he's actually the son of the king of an interstellar empire called the Spartax. So what I expected from that beginning was, the king's gone and claiming his bastard son and bringing him back to the empire and whatever and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it didn't go that way, did it?
No. But when the Nova Corps... And this is the thing that really did bug me about the Nova Corps. The Nova Corps, they fly on their own as like human rockets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have spaceships. They just fly.
Oh, that's right. That is the difference.
So,
I didn't know about that.
It was cool what they did in the movie with that whole barricade thing with the ships. That was neat. John C. Reilly playing the one Nova guy. I liked him. He was awesome. Oh, yes, ma'am. I don't think anybody can be 100% dick.
Yes.
These lines are so perfect delivery. And then he has one of the best tearjerker moments. So you actually believe me? Yeah, you went up there and fought these guys. You're the reason why my kids and my wife are still alive. Mm. Why else wouldn't we do this?
Yeah, and you see his wife and kid later.
Exactly. And you see him go home to his kids.
Yeah, and you actually get to see the scene how they were saved. So, yes, it was...
Yeah. It's like, this is... You've got all of these action-packed adventure comedy moments, and then you got all these tearjerker moments. It's like, dude, you have no way of staying up or down. It's going up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love some of the special guests they had in the movie, too.
There's one name I don't know if you actually caught.
I don't know if you caught the other one, too.
Watch us be talking about the same one.
We're not. You're talking about Nathan Fillion.
Nope.
I'm talking about Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh, wow. I'm really going to shock you then.
Which one are you talking about?
Rob Zombie.
Oh, yes. I saw him, too.
I saw it on the credits.
Yes.
And it's like, what?
He's the voice of the Ravager Navigator.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was surprised as all hell. Lloyd Kaufman, Mr. B-horror movie extraordinaire, is in the movie.
There was actually quite a few names in here.
There's a shit ton.
Yeah, I mean, it was Benicio del Toro was in there.
Well, he's already been in one of the bits of the movies.
Yeah, but nobody kind of saw him as the collector, really picked up, oh my god, that's him, you know? But, I mean, there was quite a bit. I was really shocked at, you know, seeing some of the names that went through this. And, you know, half of them, you're just like, dude, how did I miss that? Oh, the Stan Lee moment.
Well, that was a throwaway. Really, he didn't have any voices. I think he's a little on the, he's getting sick now.
Yeah.
So it's, I think we'll be seeing him less and less of any kind of active role.
You had to know he was going to somehow be in there, but...
Well, yeah.
Old man, young lady, you know, yeah.
Two young ladies, not just one, two.
Yes.
I love the name that they give his character in the movie, in the credits. Where is it? Zandarian ladies, man. By the way, the Zandarians are the formative group of the Nova Corps. For those of you who don't know your Guardians of the Galaxy lore. That's me. I'm Mr. Nerdhead. Like I said, I enjoyed this series a long time ago.
Yeah, it's kind of cool getting these to come back and really re-waken up the, well, in this case, the, you know, all the Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this is what I also said and have been saying leading up to the movie. This is going to be a gateway movie for Marvel. This movie, by being able to make a successful movie, and it is a successful movie. It's $94 million was the box office open for the weekend or something like that. So it's a respectable number. Okay, so it's a good number. It will continue to make money as the buzz grows. Its cost budget was $170 million, so I know that they'll recoup it during its playtime. So I'm sure that by the time it gets pulled out of theaters, it'll probably make $200 million easily, or more. It's got enough positive publicity from everywhere. I haven't heard anybody actually say anything negative other than say, oh, well, I didn't really like it. It's not my kind of thing. Okay. Not every movie is for everyone, and nobody should ever expect that. This movie is made very specifically to be an enjoyable, fun movie without having to be invested in it.
Right.
I mean, all the characters from this movie, beginning to end, they work in the story in the context of this movie. Ronan, I thought the guy did a beautiful job of playing that character, but he's, in the comic book series, he's a much more fearsome character than that, and would not be doing what he was doing in this movie. Gamora and Nebula were not his cohorts, and they were most definitely not Thanos' offspring, or adopted kids. Gamora was actually trained by other people, and I think was actually Drax's daughter.
Right.
If I remember correctly.
You know, the guy that played Thanos didn't even get credited for his role.
Yes.
For those who don't know, that's Josh Brolin.
Yeah, and he kind of has credit, because everybody knows it's Josh Brolin, because it's said everywhere. But on the actual official credits, he's not listed. Which I think is funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he did actually get a talking role, and you know, he's kind of the character that most of this is based around. So how did he... I mean, how does he not get a credit? That's what I just don't get.
It's called marketing.
It's interesting marketing, I give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Seth Green.
Yes. Well, we're not going there yet, because we have to keep that until near the end of the show, which is in a couple minutes. Five minutes or so. Maybe even earlier. I don't know. It depends on how I feel about Howard the Duck.
Seth Green played his voice. I cannot believe it.
I can't believe they actually had freaking Howard the Duck in the collector's collection of creatures.
Dude, he looked a little strung up, too. But
dude, it looked like the guy from the original freaking movie from the 80s. When it was like, I don't know if I like the way that looks, but I'm going with it. It's funny.
You know, it would be kind of hilarious if they actually kept it. But, you know, I was doing some research back on Howard the Duck, and the original comic books actually had him as a skinny duck looking like Donald.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I have those comics.
And taking it back in...
I have that statue.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't... It's been so long since I've done all the comic books. You know, I need to get back into them, but it's too much money.
Quack foo, you! we don't have time to go into the comics releases this week, but it's 3-4 inches deep today.
Wow.
They're not all mine. Most of them are, but not all of them. It's a few comics. A few comics today. A few. Just a few. But no, Guardians of the Galaxy is ranked as my favorite movie of this year. It is in the category of, it comes out on Blu-ray, I'm buying that mother as soon as it comes out.
Oh, heck yeah.
I have to watch it again and again, a couple times at least, and then watch the special features and like, oh, look at all the googly bits, ooh! Because this is one of those movies I want to see, how did they do this? Why did they do that? Where did they go? What was their rationale for doing this? So, I mean...
The movie itself, all the way to Groot, which
I am Groot!
I thought that was going to get annoying, but that actually came out perfect.
And because it sets up one of the best tearjerker moments. Why, Groot? Why? Why are you... You're going to die if you do this. We are Groot. Dude, that shit was awesome! And then the little bit at the end towards where the, like, wrapping up the emote, where the little dancing Groot, and Drax keeps looking, what? No. A little dancing Groot, what? No. James, that was awesome!
That was perfect.
That was like, this movie is one of my favorite all-time movies now of all time. It's actually kicked out probably, maybe out of one, number one now is tied for three different movies for me.
Really? Well, yep. I figured that in Avengers. What's the third one?
Army of Darkness.
I wouldn't have thought that made it that high on the list.
Oh, Army of Darkness has always been one of my favorite movies. Hmm. Ever since Army of Darkness came out. Because it's corny, and it's weird, and it's pernickety. And it's one of these fun little movies. Like, it doesn't take itself seriously, because it knows it's not a serious movie. I love that shit.
Yeah.
All right? And Guardians does the same thing. They know it's just a movie. They're having fun with it. They have taken a script and a story and characters and put them in this world universe and says, BAM! Have fun. And that's what they've done, is they've created this awesome storyline. I can't wait now for Guardians 2.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I'm hoping it's going to be the Infinity Crusade.
Well, I was going to ask you, do we even have a premise of what it is? Because I know there
are... Not yet.
Yeah.
Bummer. But... Now, they changed in this movie and in the Marvel Universe, from what it looks like, they've changed the Infinity Gems. All right? There's originally only 5 of them. And the 5 gems together working in concert, if you were to get all 5 gems together and put it together and slap it together and have that power, you had the power to redesign the entire universe.
What did the red one do?
I don't remember which ones, what colors they were. There was a soul gem, there's a time gem, there's a space gem, there was a plant gem, and I can't remember what the other ones were.
Well, see, because I don't know if you remember, at the end of the second Captain America, they deliver the red gem to the collector.
Correct.
And the only gem that anyone talked about in this whole time was not the red gem.
Purple.
Yeah.
Yep, the one in the movie was a purple one. And they didn't actually define the gems as being specific parameter environments. They just call them the Infinity Gems.
Exactly.
So they don't actually give them definitions. In the Marvel comic book series, the gem, and this is why I know more about the Infinity Gems, is because Adam Warlock, one of my other favorite characters, has the Soul Gem. And with the Soul Gem, he can suck your soul right out of you and feeds that gem and you're dead. And there is nothing you can do to stop it. There is no weapon, there's no defense thing, there is nothing you can do.
Well, the gauntlet hasn't been introduced yet either, has it?
No.
Yeah, so I think we still got a little ways before we talk.
But in the comic book series, with the gauntlet, what Thanos does is he kills half of the entire universe with just a thought.
Mm.
That's the kind of power that the Infinity Gauntlet has. So, I'm wrapping it up. Really, really, really love Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think everybody should go watch it and agree with me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know? So I'm just going to say that and put that out there, and it's whatever. Zoom, 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 zoom. And I just want to say everybody in the chat room and everybody else in the world, in the universe, and the galaxy beyond, whether Guardian or otherwise, thanks for coming out and listening to our show. Thanks also for coming out and visiting us on the internets, interwebs, whatever silly parabolable word you want to use there, on Facebook, on Twitter, on WebSpace, and all that other fun stuff. As you all know, it's After Rod. It's what we've got. Every Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, whatever the hell, whatever word you want to use to call that, prime time zone you're in. And EW, thanks again once more for coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I think next week we're going to have a whole bunch of other things to talk about, I'm sure. I might even watch The Bionic Woman. I might not.
Shiz. Huh?
Might not.
No?
I don't know.
I miss The Bionic Woman.
But,
not as much as I miss Wonder Woman, but I can watch her now every day.
Oh, you know, there was a new Bionic Woman show.
What?
I picked up season one for like $2.
Ooh, I have to go check this out.
It did not last very long.
I didn't think so.
put it this way. Kitty Sackhoff is in The Bionic Woman TV series. She's one of the bad girls. Put it this way. There's the one scene, and I've seen this one episode. There's this one scene where the Bionic Woman's running, and stubs her toe and breaks her toe. She's got bionic legs. Oh. Okay. Hey, you know how much it costs us to fix this toe? I don't know. An awful lot. Just be careful with this stuff. So, on that round around, I believe you've got Maria Olson coming on the show, who she is actually in the chat room. Hi, Maria. Have fun, everybody. Play nice. Be well. Care a lot for good things, and go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. Good night.
Night.
A big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.